Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. Yes, it may not be early in the morning where you are this morning, but wherever you are, this broadcast is going. I appreciate being in your home. This is the old Trailblazer. Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking to you from our studios here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll be bringing you a series of studies now on the soon coming of our blessed Lord back to this earth again. Yes? Our Lord's coming for long. Did you know that, folks? The Bible says when all of these things begin to take place, look up. What is those things? You remember there? As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of our Lord. Men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and wives swapping and living in adultery and all of those things. And then in Sodom and Gomorrah, remember those days? And the Lord said, well, I'm coming back. And He says, I'm coming back to get my... to receive my people. And I look forward to that day. The Lord's coming one morning. I believe it'll be a bright, shining morning. And the sun will be shining pretty and bright. And we'll hear that word, behold, He cometh with 10,000 of His saints. I often conduct funerals here in the city and out there in the country where folks ask me to conduct the funerals. And now the funerals are, the graveyards are so full. I've been in the cemetery where there's five or six backhoes digging graves. While I was conducting the graveside services over there somewhere in the corner. And I've often thought about it. You know, if the Lord comes back one day while I'm conducting a funeral over there in one of those graveyards, and those men on those backhoes begin to dig and dig and dig up, and all of a sudden those graves begin to open, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when those old tombstones and old slabs begin to throw back, and they won't see the body, but the Bible says those graves will be opened, and it won't be with a backhoe. And I can just imagine five or six of those fellas digging there, you know, whistling Dixie maybe, and all of a sudden those graves begin to open, the dirt flies back. I believe there'll be some running for the bushes, don't you know, because men are suspicious and spooky when they see anything like that. But, my friend, they'll rise first, and then you and I, who know the Lord, who are still living, we'll go to meet the Lord in the air. So that's what we're speaking about, that soon coming, my friend. We were looking in our last study about the story of Elijah, Eleazar, seeking a bride for Isaac, the son of Abraham, and then his coming forth to meet Rebekah there. It's a full type or prophetic picture of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for His bridegroom. For His own. Do you see, my friend, no matter where we open God's book, from its pages cries forth in no uncertain terms, I will come again. Then the heart of every born-again believer echoes back these words we saw there, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. That's what old John, the Apostle John, said, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. And as a believer waits, oh, as he waits, listen now, one day He'll come for you and me. As He said to His disciples there on the night of His betrayals, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, my friend, we're not worried about that place, are we? I heard a preacher on the radio late one night. I was coming home from one of the mission places, and I had the radio on. And this preacher was telling, he was speaking about heaven and going home. And then he said, oh, I'm hoping the Lord will wait till I get there to design my own mansion. He was an architect by trade. And he went on to tell about the beautiful gardens and the ponds and the palm trees. And he would put there in his mansion. But my friend, I said, thou fool. What a fool. The Lord said, I'll prepare a place for you. And you know what? God's child does not care what the place is going to look like, because he knows if the Lord made it, it'll be gracious. And you know what the old trailblazer here who went ahead of me, old Pastor Shelton, often said? He said, I'll be content just to be a doorkeeper in heaven, to sit out on the back steps and wait for the Lord to come by so that I can see Him. Is that your hope today, my friend, that you'll be able to see the Lord one day? I will. You know, we put much emphasis on our on our public figures, don't we? On the Queen of England and the King of all those kings over there in Europe somewhere, and then on the children of the Queen of England, how they're many of them are reprobated and all those terrible lives they live, and yet people throng to see them or throng to see different ones. But my friend, I'm wanting to see the Lord. I wouldn't walk two blocks to see the Queen of England. She had nothing for me. No, she has all the trouble she can have with her bunch of jug heads that she's got. My friend, listen, I want to see the Lord, and he's coming one day. He says, I go prepare a place for you, Pendarvis. And if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you for myself. That word, receive, it means to take by force or just to kidnap. Thank my friend. Thank God. Thank the Lord. He's coming. Are you ready? I am. Suppose the cry should come here today from the sky. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, or go ye out to meet him. Is there any oil in your lamp, my friend? You know it's too late to pack your suitcase? Oh, we often hear folks say, well, I have my suitcase packed. But listen, is there any oil in your lamp? Is it trimmed and burning? Would you be ready to rise and go forth to meet the Lord, whom your heart loves and adores and worship? Or would you be like the foolish virgin? Would you begin to cry, we have no oil in our lamp? Or would you say, I got to go back and get this, I got to go back and get that, I got to go tell Mama goodbye? No, my friend, no, listen. And then to be left behind. To be left behind. One of the greatest horrors, my friend, in this life and in any life, would be to be left behind when the Lord comes. Isn't that going to be awful? Go on. Go on in your sinful life. Go on in your infidelity. Go on in those things. Never think about your soul. But today is a day of salvation, my friend. Listen, to be left behind when he comes. For the door to be shut and for you to come crying, open up, open up, let me in. And then he will say, depart. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I want to tell you what happened. I believe there when the floods came and Noah's families were safe inside the ark, one morning it began to rain. The Bible says the fountains of the deep were broken up. I believe the water came up from below as well as from above. And the old boat, all the skeptics had been seeing them there for 120 years building on that boat. And they saw the rain come. And they weren't too excited. And then the rain kept coming. And the water kept beginning to rise. And after a while, the old boat kind of groaned and muttered and began to shift around a little bit and rose up off the ground just a few inches. And those folks, it dawned on them that what Brother Noah was telling them was true, that boat was going to float and everybody was going to be lost. He had preached for 120 years. I'm sure he told them. I'm sure he described that if you never come to trust the Lord, if you don't come into the ark while the door is open, that you will be left. My friend, to be left outside. What happened? When that thing began to float, I believe that folks began to get ladders and treetops and put up against it and climb up it and cling to the cupboard, to the boards on the side and beating on the door. Mr. Noah, let me in! Mr. Noah, let me in! Open the door, Mr. Noah! Please open the door. But you know what? The Bible says the Lord shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. And I have so many people make fun of the ark and make fun. They said how they get all those animals in there and all of those things. My friend, the Lord made those animals. He moved their heart from the smallest microorganism unto the hippopotamus, the elephants, and all of those things. Noah didn't have to go out with a bull whip and round them up. No, sir. The Lord moved their hearts to come into the ark while the door was still open. They were all quiet in there. There wasn't any rebellion in there. There wasn't any horsing around, as it were, in the ark. They were all docile because the Lord had made them that way. But listen, my friend, what about you? Is the ark going to close its door and leave you on the outside? Our Lord's coming back, my friend. I can't stress that enough. Our Lord's coming back one day. And all signs are that it's not going to be long. Well, if it's 100 years, what about? That's not long. If, no, it's not long. my friend, but it's sure. It's coming. Oh, if I could just say something that would touch your heart. My friend, every sinner is a sinner by nature. Every sinner, every lost sinner loves sin. He hates God. He does. Oh, he don't stand out in the street and shake his fist. No, but he wants to have his own way and his own will. And I'm warning you this morning. This is a warning message. This is a warning message. Did you know the angels took Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand and dragged them or drug them outside the city of Sodom? The Lord's not going to do that to you, my friend. He's given you the gospel. The gospel is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it shines a way that you might follow to know the Lord, and you won't have it because of your old sin nature. Your old stubborn will. You don't want to be saved. You people write me and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. But they don't. They want to have their way. And if you'll just be honest with me this morning, if you'll just be honest with me at this time, say, Pastor, I want to be honest. I don't want to be saved. I want to have my own way. I have folks tell me, I haven't lived yet. I haven't had enough fun yet. I want to have some fun. I've had people tell me, young people, excuse me, if I trust the Lord, I won't be able to go to a rock concert anymore. I won't be able to go to this. I won't be able to go to that. But you know what? You won't want to go. You want to do what the Lord wants you to do. My friend, God's children are not a bunch of sticks in the mud. God's children are human beings who has a joy in their heart and a song in their mouth, praising the Lord for salvation in Christ, and we are thrown together with the world, but we're not of the world. The Lord changed our hearts. He gave us a new heart, gave us a new desire, gave us a desire after the things of the Lord that we might look forward to go be with the Lord. Every sinner's heart is to go be with the Lord, my friend, to see Christ who died for us. That's right, not to see Moses and Paul, the apostle. No, we may see them too, but we go to see the Lord, the one who died for us, the one who gave his life blood, and the one who's coming back soon, my friend. He's coming back soon. My listener, are you ready? You who listen to me, hear me up there. Some of you I've known, know personally. Some of you have written me up there in Little Rock, Arkansas. Some of you have get up early in the morning and make donuts and listen to the old Trailblazer. Are y'all ready to go be with the Lord? Are you? Could I just implore you this morning? Tell me if you know the Lord. Tell me if you want to know the Lord. And if you do, trust Him. He'll save you. I wish I could hold you by the hand, drink a cup of coffee with you, but I can't. This is the old Trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Pray for him. Say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Trailblazer, I'm praying for you. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Till next time, this is the old Trailblazer saying goodbye and God bless you.